The epistle for the second Sunday of Lent is taken from St. Paul's first epistle to the Thessalonians, chapter 4. Brethren, we pray and beseech you in the Lord Jesus that as you have received us, how you ought to walk and to please God, so also would you walk that you may abound the more. For you know that what precepts I have given to you by the Lord Jesus, for this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles that know not God, and that no man overreach nor circumvent his brother in business, because the Lord is the avenger of all these things, as we have told you before and have testified. For God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto sanctification in Christ Jesus our Lord. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 17. At that time Jesus taketh unto him Peter and James and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them. And his face did shine as the sun, and his garments became white as snow. And behold, there appeared to them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then Peter answering said to Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, and one for Moses, and one for Elias. And as he was yet speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and lo, a voice out of the cloud saying, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And the disciples, hearing, fell upon their face and were very much afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said to them, Arise and fear not. And they, lifting up their eyes, saw no one but only Jesus. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell this vision to no man till the Son of Man be risen from the dead. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. At that time Jesus taketh Peter and James and John his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them. Words taken from today's Gospel. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, I would like to begin by telling you a story that was recorded by the 6th century bishop and historian, St. Gregory of Tours. Not many Catholic people have ever even heard of St. Gregory of Tours. He is not a saint on the universal calendar of the Church, but nonetheless, he was a great saint in the 6th century. He was born in the year 538. He died in the year 594 in what is now modern-day France. He is actually one of the most respected historians of the early Middle Ages. And while he is best known for his historical and biographical writings, many of his writings deal with the subject of miracles. St. Gregory devoted himself to collecting as many accounts and stories of miracles as he could. And in his writings, he gives an accurate account of the miracles that had occurred since the beginning of the Church down to his own time. And one of the miracles he describes concerns an abbot of a monastery whose name was Salvi. St. Gregory of Tours relates that the abbot Salvi, after a long and pious life, died in the midst of all the religious of his monastery. After his death, the abbot's body was laid in a casket, which was then set in the chapel. The following morning, while the priests and brothers of the monastery were preparing for the Requiem Mass, the abbot Salvi rose up from his casket as if he were awakening from a deep sleep. He raised his eyes towards heaven, he stretched out his hands, and he cried out, O merciful God, why hast thou allowed me to come back again to the darkness of this weary world? I would have so much preferred to remain with thee in heaven, than to be again on earth. St. Gregory then writes that for 3 days the abbot neither ate nor drank nor even spoke. But then on the third day, he assembled all the priests and brothers of the monastery together. And this is what he said to them, according to St. Gregory. My dearest friends, believe me when I tell you that everything you see in this world is nothingness. Solomon indeed spoke the truth when he said, all is vanity. But happy is the one who so lives his life here on earth, so as to secure for himself the happiness of seeing God in eternity. Now, while the saintly abbot was speaking, one of the fathers asked him, tell us what you have seen. The abbot Salvi said this, 4 days ago, when you saw me expire, two angels carried my soul to heaven. We reached a gate more brilliant than the sun. We passed through the gate and entered what appeared to me to be a magnificent palace of great dimensions, full of the most beautiful light, which I cannot describe. But I did see a multitude of men and women so great that I could not number them. When they saw me enter, they welcomed me with the greatest joy. My two angelic companions told me that these men and women were those who persevered in serving God faithfully on earth. I was then assigned a place among them. And I tell you, my dearest brethren, I cannot describe the joy and the happiness which I felt. But then I heard the voice of the Lord say, let him be sent back again for a time. Let him be sent back into the world because the church has need of him. When I heard these words, I prostrated myself on the floor of this magnificent palace and I pleaded with the Lord. I cried out, thou hast shown me these beautiful things, O Lord. Please do not deprive me of them. But if thou dost send me back into the world, I fear I will be in danger of never returning. But then the Lord said to me, go in peace. And I will protect you till such time as I bring you here. My angelic companions brought me to the gate through which I entered, and then I immediately found myself again here in our monastery. Now, St. Matthew, in today's Gospel, relates the very familiar account of the glorious transfiguration of Christ. He writes, at that time Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them. This is the one and only time in all of the Gospels that the whole appearance of our Lord changed. In other words, our divine Savior showed the glory of the sacred humanity. It was made manifest. Christ's heavenly glory was revealed to Peter, James, and John on the high mountain as Moses and Elias appeared with him. St. Matthew described our Lord's transfigured appearance in these words. He said, his face did shine as the sun. His garments became as white as snow. His appearance on Mount Tabor In other words, was so divine, it was so majestic, it was so beyond description. It even caused so great a joy that St. Peter wanted to remain there. He said, "Lord, it is good for us to be here." And then he said, "If you will, we can make three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, one for Elias." And by those words, my dear friends, he meant, we never have to leave. We can just stay here forever. How wondrous must have been the sight of the transfigured Christ to see the eternal Son of God made man, to see the glory of his sacred humanity. It gave St. Peter such indescribable and unspeakable joy that he did not want to leave. He was ready to leave the entire world behind, all its goods, all its material things, just to look at Christ forever. Our Lord showed this to these three chosen apostles in order that he might give them and even us a little foretaste of the glory and the joys of heaven. He did this to strengthen them as well for the crosses and conflicts that lay ahead. If the sight, though, of the transfigured sacred humanity of Christ had such an effect upon the apostles, we should ask ourselves, what will the beatific vision of God in heaven be like? And by beatific vision of God, my dear people, I mean, what will it be like to see the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, the Holy Trinity, one God, as he is? There really are no words to describe that. There is nothing here that can even relate to that. But what joy awaits us. It is good for us to think of such things as heaven, the joy of heaven. It is good for us to sometimes consider that to help get us through this life, to help us to bear the crosses and trials. It's not enough to always think of the torments of hell. But we must also, my dear friends, think about the joys of heaven. St. Gregory of Tours tells us about the unspeakable joy that the holy abbot Salvi experienced in paradise, and about how, like St. Peter on Mount Tabor, he did not want to leave. And when he returned to his brothers and the fathers in the monastery, the first thing he said to them after 3 days of silence was to speak of the vanity, that is, the emptiness of worldly joy, of worldly pleasures, of material things, in comparison to the wondrous bliss of heaven. "My dearest friends," he said to them, "believe me when I tell you that everything you see in this world is nothingness. But happy is the one who so lives here on earth as to secure for himself the happiness of seeing God in eternity." Each year on this second Sunday of Lent, the Church presents this gospel of the Transfiguration to us. And she does this to encourage us in the midst of the battles that we must wage upon this earth in order to save our souls. She does this too to help strengthen us in our resolves to keep our Lenten resolutions, to persevere in our penances with generosity. To do that penance now, that is to carry our cross now with Christ, so that we will one day be happy with Him forever in heaven. For we are here on earth, my dear friends, to work. We are here to work out our salvation. It is in the eternity of heaven that we will then rest from all our labors. But the church also wants us to be mindful of this very great truth, that nothing else really matters here except that we know, love, and serve God in this world, so that one day we will be happy with Him forever in heaven. So many people in the world today give little thought to God or salvation. They give little thought to eternity, to heaven or hell. Our world today is preoccupied with the political strife in the nation, and it is preoccupied with a so-called pandemic. People have more fear today of getting sick than they do of losing their souls when all is said and done. And how they act as though God made them for this world. And then there are those who think that everyone is going to heaven and that almost no one goes to hell. This false and distorted view of things actually began with the Protestant Reformation in the 16th century, when Martin Luther taught faith alone saves. And in the practical order, it meant all you have to do is believe. Believe in our Lord, accept Him, Luther said, as your personal Savior. And no matter what you do, you will go to heaven. You don't even have to be sorry for your sins. You just have to believe, Luther said. That was the great lie of the 16th century. Then we had the great lie of the 20th century, the modernist teaching of Vatican II. We must keep our eyes on the transfigured Christ, my dear friends. But we must not neglect His clear and certain teaching on hell. We must have confidence in the Sacred Heart of Jesus, but we must not be presumptuous the way the Protestant religion and the new religion of Vatican II is. That's why at funerals in the new church they wear white vestments and not black. And it's why almost everyone goes to communion in the new church, and almost no one, when all is said and done, goes to confession. They have put the people to sleep, as Luther did, so to speak, in the 16th century. They have convinced them that almost no one goes to hell. At Vatican II, they not only destroyed the Mass and the sacraments and their changes, they also destroyed fear of God, horror for sin, and a loving confidence in the Sacred Heart. Those three things were also destroyed at Vatican II and in its wake. Let us, my dear people, let us keep our eyes on heaven, but let us not forget the reality of hell. We must treasure the eternal joys of heaven and not the passing pleasures of this world. We must live our lives, in other words, now striving to gain heaven, the only thing that really matters. Let us then, during this holy season of Lent, take to heart the words of the Abbot Salvi, "My dearest friends, believe me when I tell you that everything you see in this world is nothingness. But happy, happy is the one who so lives here on earth as to secure for himself the happiness of seeing God in eternity." And finally, as we struggle and strive and work now to save our souls, how we must always, especially in times of temptation, whether these are temptations to despair, to sadness, to impurity, to anger and patience, how we must always turn to the Blessed Virgin Mary, whom the Church calls the Gate of Heaven. She is the Gate of Heaven, and her rosary is the key that opens that gate to us. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.